hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
The Pet Buzz, Saturday mornings, 8 to 9 a.m.
Tampa Bay's Tan Talk, entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
You may be owed some money. After 911 and 411, call 541. That's 727-541-1741. Call Gulfstream Motorsports for a diminished value report. Due to my 28 years experience in the auto salvage business, I'm very good with wrecks. So if your car's been involved in a wreck, call me for a diminished value report. Call 727-541-1741. You may be owed some money for the lost value of your repaired vehicle. And visit us at GulfstreamMotorsports.com.
Looking for car shows? Then look no further than flacarshows.com. On your computer or on your mobile device, flacarshows.com is a comprehensive list of automotive events, plus videos and news articles. Whether you're looking for car shows, cruise-ins, meetups, automotive festivals, cars and coffees, or anything else relating to an internal combustion engine, then this is a site for you. Check it out online or on your phone at flacarshows.com.
Okay. We are recording. The World Rally Championship has become the number one TV sport in the world. We're joined by Lancia team manager Cesare Fiorio.
Rallying is like a war, and I'm the commander of an army.
Walter.
Cesare.
You got a competitive car this year?
Yeah.
Very incredible car. Central engine, light car, very special materials.
Four-wheel drive?
No. Two-wheel drive.
You can't beat them with a normal car.
Yes, we can.
If you drive it.
Give me one good reason why I should accept.
Because we are the underdogs.
Joe Cesare. Cesare thinks you can challenge us without a four-wheel drive. This better with ice, don't you think?
Vi presento la nuova Lancia 037.
You still think that the Germans are only technology and organization, don't you? Don't believe all the cliches, Fury.
Welcome to the opening of the 51st Monte Carlo Rally.
Rallying is a dangerous sport. Does anything frighten you?
One thing, losing.
Go! Go!
Now we have the second stage in Tuscany. Let's go.
That car, you will never win against me.
The drivers, why do they risk their lives?
Death is afraid of those who pursue it. To win, I'll do whatever I have to do.
I'll only do 6 races. Take it or leave it.
Lancia, now do you play it all out in one last stage?
Walter,
you must recover 10 seconds. It's now or never. Push.
You okay?
I'm just thinking.
About what?
Winning.
Hi, this is Nick Mason from Pink Floyd, and you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
Sirs, welcome. You're tuned in to Nostalgic Radio and Cars, and I'm your show host, Robert. Right on your computers and Google Tan Talk, 1340.com, and you can see us live here in the studios in downtown Clearwater. Don't forget to check out our website, GulfstreamMotorsports.com. We can find out all about us, and if you missed any of our past shows, don't forget to check out NostalgicRadioandCars.com. And good evening, Ed. How you doing?
Doing all right on a Tuesday.
Did you miss me for a week? You can answer that. No. All right. I answered it for you. Anyway. All right, guys, boys, girls, car fans. I just got back from California. I was out there for the Monterey Car Week. So that's going to be the feature tonight. And there's going to be some really cool stuff. And then there's going to be a slight rant somewhere along there. Okay, because we have issues. But I don't. They do. Some people do. But anyway, so what we're going to do is if you listen to that clip, and of course the clip's always kind of a clue as to where the show is going to go during the show. I talked a little bit about the 1983 World Rally Championship that they have in Europe. And you know, if you want to watch something really, really exciting, you talk about guys that have noogies. These guys have noogies. I mean, the Pikes Peak guys, I was talking to my uncle, Uncle Art. How are you? Hey there, hi there, ho there, because he was out there with me in California. Big shout out to an old friend of mine, a good friend of mine, Sarah. Sarah was out there. She's a car enthusiast. She actually does some volunteer work for Pebble Beach. And then Helen, who also does a little of that. She also does some stuff at Concorso. And so, you know, it's kind of like when you go to these major events. You've heard me talk about this all the time. It's like a reunion, you know, kind of like every year. Obviously, when I go out to California, which is my home state, it is a reunion because I see my relatives and stuff. And Uncle Art and I always go down to Monterey. He lives up in Santa Rosa, which is north of San Francisco, which is the area that I grew up in, Bay Area, from Marin County, north of San Francisco as well. And Pete Brock, who's a obviously well-known, been on our show many, many, many times, alumni guest, good friend of mine. And he's from Sausalito, so, you know, and he, of course, he designed the Cobra Daytona Coupe that won the 1965 World Manufacturers Championship for Shelby, and the only manufacturer that's ever done that, even to this day, if I believe, at least for an American company. And they would have won in 64, but Enzo kind of was clever enough to pull the last race. So had they, and it's based on a point system, but that's another story for another day. Anyway, the reason I'm bringing this up is because I believe, I'm not 100% sure, but if you go to my Facebook page, I'm going to get everybody to go to Facebook. Go to Facebook, Nostalgic Radio and Cars, and like, and share, like, and share, like, and share, like, and like, share. Because this whole social media crap has gotten to be out of control, because it's more about social media and virtual relationships and digital relationships than it is about, you know, meeting people on a one-on-one basis. Ed, you can relate to that because you have to deal with that every day here at the radio station, WTAN in downtown Clearwater. And but it's Ed, by the way, when I was out in Monterey, I ran into, and I don't have it with me because I gave it to Lola, but Dave and Lola owned a radio station out in Carmel at one point in time. Mm-hmm. And I think it's called K Monterey Bay now or whatever it is. And I met one of the guys that actually worked with Dave Wagenvoort back in the day when they owned that radio station in downtown Monterey. And back then it was downtown on Cannery Row, and the radio station used to be out in the water on a little platform, or some sort of a concrete platform, that I should say. It's no longer there. Might have got moved to the hills or something like that.
Yeah, they had a thing for radio stations on platforms near the water.
Back because
this one,
yeah, exactly. This one too, right? WTAN Clearwater used to be right down on the waterfront, in a little building. I can only imagine what Roger Shulman and those guys were doing back in the day when they were DJing. And I don't know if Scott Shannon was at this station. Alan will probably call in and correct me because he's Mr. Radio Station, Mr. Car Guy, Mr. Everything. But anyway. So where did I go? I got off tangent. Okay, so, you know, in this world, we kind of apply for media credentials and stuff like that. And we were up there, I'll talk about that in a little bit. But anyway, so at one of the events we were at, it's called The Quail. And I think also on the show field, there may have been one on the show field too. But this is about this Lancia rally car that was built for the 1983 season. It actually raced 83, 84, 85. And of course, Audi pretty much dominated everything back in the day, and some of the other French cars, Renault, depending on the class, depending on the size. But generally, they're all-wheel drive cars. Not in the old days. In the old days, there were two-wheel cars, and you kind of, you know, and Volkswagen, Porsche had an advantage because, you know, they're rear-wheel drive, the motor sitting back there. So, you know, but as you got better and better and better. And basically, what rally driving is kind of drifting on some serious steroids, because you're hanging over a cliff. Like I said, we had Bobby Unser on here a number of years ago. We were talking about running Pipes Peak, and I was telling my uncle when we were out there, I said, hey, as we're whipping through the country roads, the mountain roads up there and just on the other side of Carmel Valley, and we had a couple cars in front of us. And of all things, my uncle has some really cool cars. You know, he's had Mercedes Jags and Porsches and crap like that. What are we driving? We're driving, get this, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, sports fan, car guys, a Prius. A freaking Prius. Now, I will say this in the Prius's defense. I'm not into electric cars. I really don't care for hybrids. Hybrid has a little bit more significance than an electric car. But that little Prius was actually not a bad little car. It really, really wasn't. You know, I mean, it had electrical issues. Duh. But it was kind of not a bad handling, riding little car. So I'm whipping through the countryside or the mountains there, and they're pretty, you know, there's no guardrails, okay? Just so you know. And you're going down maybe, 500, 600 feet, something like that, maybe a little bit more, as you're rolling through and bouncing off a few trees and stuff like that. We didn't have that problem. I got past. We're going up the hill. We're leaving Laguna Seca Raceway. We were just over there for the day. And we're leaving Laguna Seca, and we're going over to this this dinner, the Shelby dinner with a bunch of Shelby guys. Big shout-out to Scott Black and the guys from Timepiece and Pat Bondurant. And Adam Carolla was there. There's a picture of me with Adam Carolla. He was there. And some other people that I knew there. Camilio Pardo, who designed the Ford GT, the original one, he was there. So it was kind of like a gathering of Ford guys. Anyway, so as we're going up the hill, I hear behind me, and I get passed by a Porsche Carrera GT. So we're talking 500 plus horsepower, I think, something like that, whatever that thing has in it, and $1.5 million. Okay, so my uncle sits and says, "Robert, tone it down a little bit. Don't be going. You know, you're not a race. The Prius is not a race car." I know, but what happened was we had a truck in front of us, like three cars in front of us, so nobody could go over 55, 60 miles an hour. Even downhill, which was a lot of fun, and but it was kind of cool though. You know, I had that Carrera GT in front of me, and I was kind of trying to hang on the back of it, you know, so I could read Porsche. That's what it says on the back. But nonetheless, where was I going with this thing? Oh, okay. So at the Quail, which is kind of a high end event, we were at Bonham's auction. There were some pretty cool cars there. But at the Quail, I believe, and I'm not sure, but I need to go back and check my records. But they had a display there for these rally cars. European rally cars. Ford had a rally car there. Focus, I think, rally car, or an Escort maybe. I'm not sure. Not U.S. production cars. Just strictly European production cars. But Lancia had three cars there, and one of those cars may have been one of these cars. So I'm going to have to go back and look at the pictures. But I believe that was one of those cars. But you know, you think about this. So pretty much all the rally cars back in the day were quattros or four-wheel drive. Quattro, that's, you know, Italian, that's actually Italian. Quattro is for four, but four-wheel drive. Okay, so Audi, you know, and which is a great car. It's a Volkswagen. Basically, it's a Porsche with a Audi body on it. Folks, somewhere between an Audi and Volkswagen, you know, because Porsche has this little company called Weissach, and Weissach does a lot of really cool stuff, and they do research for both Porsche, Mercedes, Audi, BMW, German military, American military. Just they did the original V-Rod. In 1981, when I was over there, they were developing the Evo motor for Harley-Davidson. And get away from the old shovels, you know, the iron heads. And so then there was a budgeting issue, and Harley-Davidson was going through its little things. And, of course, Reagan bailed them out, which was fine. That was good because that was an American company, got a, you know, little subsidies there. And we're good with that because it was a legit deal, unlike what Obama did with Ford or with GM and Chrysler. And so Harley, that kind of put them on the map. And then later they had the V-Rod, which, if you really look at it, it kind of looks like a 993 Porsche on two wheels. So it's kind of, or 959. So you have to kind of stare at it a little bit. It's pretty cool. Anyway, where was I going with this? Okay, so this was about the rally car. But I just happened to stumble on this movie that's coming out. Now, what's really cool is they did the movie on Senna. They did a movie on with Niki Lauda and James Hunt. And now they're doing this movie. So they're kind of getting, you know, they're getting into these movies, these historic films that are kind of tie, you know, because automotive racing in Europe is the number one people spectator sport. We have this little thing where a bunch of guys get together and chase a little pigskin, and might throw this other little round thing that's got a bunch of stitches on it. I guess there's a game going on tonight, right? The Rays and the A's out in California. And so if they better get their balls in order. But it takes two balls to drive a race car, I might add. Anyway, that's a big sports fan, so I got to jack with them every once in a while. Anyway, and rally, I mean, when I was a kid growing up over there, you know, it was two things you followed. You followed F1 was number one, road rallying, you know, was the deal. GT racing was very popular as well. And then we followed skiing, you know, because the Alps and skiing and the mountains and all that other cool stuff. So that's kind of the way that worked out then. But anyway, so I believe that one of those cars with the Quail, I think I have pictures. So again, definitely check out my Facebook page, Nostalgic Radio and Cars, the Facebook page. And there's some pictures on there. In fact, I might add that all the pictures that you see on there, and in the old days, and I still do, I carry a 35 millimeter camera, a Canon something 60, and but I only use that when I go to the races because that's when I have to zoom in. So even when I was at Laguna Seca, I still use my little, I got this little Pixel thing here. And it takes doggone good pictures. And if you read the reports on the studies on it, it says it's almost as good as an Apple. So, and I don't know how to use an Apple. So it probably has worms. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, so the Pixel does actually pretty good stuff. But most of the time, I'm up close. And, of course, you can zoom in. And I can do the videos and can do all that stuff. And then I can post it right away. So now the new cameras have all that technology built in them. But, and a lot of the guys that are professional photographers, which I am not. I'm a hobbyist type amateur, if you will. Even though I can qualify in the media world for a photo vest, I can actually go in there and I can get a photo vest. So what that does is that it actually allows me to go certain areas on the racetrack that you can't go without the photo vest. And you know, it's kind of like the buddy system a little bit. If you kind of know some people, they'll say, "Yeah, get out there real quick, take your shot, get back in," and I won't say, "I didn't see you." Okay, you know how that works? Anyway, so I was able to do that. So I got some good shots at Laguna Seca there. There's like a little cutout in the chain link fence. It's framed, okay, and you can sit right there and the cars come and you don't have the chain link grid in front of you. You got a nice close shot. And it's coming off the corkscrew, which is pretty cool. And then I got a couple on pit row, and then I got one coming around turn one, two, and three, which is before the straight by going on the Dunlop Bridge. But it's a 3.5-4 mile track, and it's kind of like you got to be set up for it because you got to get from one end of the track to the other end of the track. It's kind of like Daytona. Daytona is like a big giant oval with an infield. It's not so bad. Sebring's another one. It's a tough one because you can't get all over the place. You have to kind of pick your spot. Road Atlanta is another one. I was just up there a couple months, 3-4 months ago, and I got some shots on that. Check out again, Facebook. Nostalgic Radio and Cars. Don't forget to Facebook, Gulfstream Motorsports as well. Anyway, and I had some stuff on there, and so I got some videos. Okay, I just haven't posted the videos yet. And but all in all, it was a lot of fun. So all right, so let me give you the rundown. So I land off. We kind of, I didn't want to say crash land, but we land in San Francisco, and what was really cool is coming on the airport when you're landing. We just happened to have another plane that was kind of parallel to us, so I got a picture of that as it was landing. Obviously, I get a couple in the air when we're buzzing around in the clouds, you know, and the Kamala clouds. I guess I'll go with that one. Ha ha! Ed likes that one. Anyway, in fact, I think it was like 3-4 years ago, 5 years ago, maybe it was 10 years ago, there was a plane that crashed at the San Francisco International Airport, crash landed. I don't think there was no fatalities or anything like that. But that plane sat there for 3 or 4 days. And I remember when we were landing, that plane was still on the runway. Problem was, I was on the wrong side of the airplane, so I couldn't get the picture. Otherwise, I would have got the picture of that. Or it was just sitting there, laying there, you know, like it looked like an airplane junkyard, but which was kind of cool. And I mean, fortunately, nobody got hurt, which is good. But the plane, the wreckage was still there because FAA's got to investigate it and all that other good stuff. So where am I going with this? Okay, so land, Art picked me up and his little Prius, and off to Monterey we go. And, you know, California is a, again, my home state. And back in the day, it was actually a pretty cool state. You go over there today, it lists a cesspool. That's sorry. The first song that I'm going to play is Californication by Red Hot Chili Peppers. Now, it's a little bit newer band than what we normally play, but I think Ed's going to fire that up for us. You can listen to it. But if you get a chance, read the lyrics to that song. It kind of tells you kind of where we're at. And but anyway, it was kind of sad. But anyway, you're tuned into Nostalgic Radio and Cars. Don't touch that dial. I'll be right back. It's me live during the whole show today. Tell your friends. See ya. And if you want these kind of dreams, it's Californication. It's the edge of the world in all of Western civilization. The sun may rise in the east, at least it's settled in a final location. It's understood that Hollywood sells California. Break the spell of aging. Celebrity skin, is this your generation? Okay, we're back to tune into Nostalgic Radio Cars. Ed, we have an ASCAP license here, right? Okay, so just for you ladies, listeners, just in case you got cut off, we have an ASCAP license, but F book, that's what I call it, F book, and what's that other thing, YouTube, YouTube, somebody got that? They don't recognize the fact that we're a licensed radio station, live licensed radio station with an ASCAP license, and we can play music live, more than 20 seconds, correct, Ed, on that?
Well, we do play music.
We do. I know. Yeah, we have Music of Your Life, which is a great station. In fact, everybody in the Tampa Bay area, you need to tune in to Nostalgic, or besides Nostalgic Radio and Cars, Tan Talk Radio Network, because Music of Your Life has got some really good songs, music on there now, with a lot of 50s, 60s, 70s stuff, 80s stuff even. So
yeah, 90s, 2000.
Yeah. I mean, it used to be the old standards out of the 30s, 40s, and 50s, but now we got some good stuff. But anyway, definitely check that out if you're local. Actually, you can pull us up on the internet anywhere because we are streamed live. But yes, we are licensed. But they don't do it, so they cut us off, and then I get people to say, hey, I can't hear you. Well, okay, just re-up it again or whatever you guys have to do or whatever that's called. Right?
Yeah, they're finicky, you know. They want a blood sample and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Blood sample.
Keep your music up, whatever.
Yeah, okay.
I think there's more pressing things in the world just to... squash.
Yeah, then our little
than a song.
Right, our little radio station here. Okay, so all right, so we go to the first thing we went to was this little thing in downtown Carmel. Years ago, a friend of mine did a show called Concours on the Ave, and that was a really, really, really good show. You had some of the finest cars. I mean, everything: Porsches, Jaguars, Ferraris, Maseratis, Bugattis. On occasion, you had Shelbys, you had Bosses, you had Cobras, you had Camaros, you had Cadillacs, you had Lincolns. You had everything was there. Okay, I mean, it just ran Fiats even. You know, not that a Fiat's a bad car. Alfa Romeos, Jaguar, or Austin Healey's, Triumphs, Spitfires. Well, Triumphs in general, you know, Spitfires. Anyway, all these kind of cars. So, but it was a high-end show, and it was free to the public. It was an amazing show. It stretched from Ocean Drive, from the top of Ocean Drive, almost all the way down to the waterfront. And Carmel, by the way, has a beautiful beach. Stunning, stunning beach. It's really cool. And there's a little section there. Sarah goes down there all the time, don't you, Sarah? She goes down there all the time and takes her little doggies. And when she's down there visiting. But at any rate, so that show's no longer there. So there for a few years, unfortunately, because Doug passed away. So for a few years, there was nothing going on downtown Monterey, or downtown Carmel, not Monterey. So then the lady that was on her show last week, I think, is Shanteria. McGilbray, she was there. She does a show called Prancing Ponies. God, I'm dead bad. Jeez, shame on me. I got to hit resume. All right, hold on. We just got kinked. And beep. All right, she'll be back live now. Isn't that terrible? And if I'm not paying attention, then, you know, I'll be blank. Anyway, that's on Facebook. Losers. But anyway, so she's got the Prancing Ponies Women's Car Show, which is all women-owned cars. Okay, now there was Porsches there, but one of the cars I was surprised to see was a Pantera, of all cars. The lady had a Pantera. It was pretty cool. 71, 72 chrome bumper car, which was really nice. She didn't know a lot about it, but she had the car. She liked the car, and she repainted the car kind of a special blue, and it made her happy. And that's the whole thing, is the car has to put a smile on your face. So Shanteria, by the way, had her Ferrari F458 there, which she nicknamed Coco. We were talking about that last week on the show, how everybody has names for the cars. I have a few cars that have some ladies' name. One's named after my mom, one's named after my aunt. I have an Elizabeth, I have a Lydia, I have what else do I have? Well, anyway, I can't think of them all because I only have a few. But anyway, so she was there, and then of course there was a couple other people that they had kind of really cute kind of awards. What happened to be going on at the same time? This is on Thursday, by the way. I jumped ahead here. On Thursday was also, it just happened to be a Ferrari show downtown too. So now we have the Prancing Ponies Women's Car Show, but then we also have a Ferrari show, and there was some vintage Ferraris there, which was really kind of cool. So there was some 365s, there was a Daytona Coupe there, basically 365 GTC. There was a couple 330s, there was a 330 GTC, 330 GTs, there was a 250 GT, which is the competizione. if I pronounce that right. 308, 328, and an F40, which I was surprised to see there also, which is kind of an unusual car because that's a pretty badass car. And came out, let's see, like 88, 89, 90, 91, 92, somewhere around in there. So that was kind of cool. All right, but anyway, so back to the Tuesday when we got there, there was a show called Concourse for a Cause. And one of the locals there got together, and of course, you know, the thing about Carmel, it's kind of, Carmel, if you ever gone to the British Car Show in downtown Safety Harbor when they had that in the fall, that's kind of what they did. I think Dunedin does it also. I'm not sure. They may do one as well. But Safety Harbor does that show. In fact, I think they used to do more than one car show. But it's just really neat. You block off the streets, and everybody just, it's just open to everybody. You know. And then the participants contribute, and that money and anything else that goes on, and advertisers and sponsors, that money goes towards a charity, of course, which is the way that's supposed to work. All right, on Wednesday afternoon, what did we do Wednesday? Wednesday they had this little car show, which is always a lot of fun. It's in downtown Pacific Grove, and it's called The Little Car Show. That's literally what it's called. If you go to my Facebook page, again, plug my Facebook page, listeners, followers. It's a little car show. Well, there's Fiats, there's Alfa Romeos, there's Mini Coopers, Porsches, of course, you know, little ones, and 356s, Volkswagens, Volkswagen buses, Fiats. There was a Fiat 850, there was a Fiat 850 Coupe and 850 Spider. You don't see those very often. A couple of Morgans, a couple of early MGBs, TDs. An MGC, let's see what else, a Subaru 360. I had to take a picture of that and send it to Malcolm Bricklin because, you know, he was responsible for bringing Subarus in the country. It was a little Subaru 360, which was really kind of cute. And I can't remember the name of this car. There was a name on the side of it, and it was on the window. And I was going to say that, mention that tonight. I'll think of it probably, hopefully before the end of the show. And that was kind of cool. And so that was a lot of fun. And let's see, what else was there? A guy had a 911, a two-owner 911 was there. A guy had two Cortinas. He had one Cortina and one Escort. You don't see those very often at all, especially since these were European cars. And so what else was there? Bunch of really cool little stuff. And then there was this one little goofy little thing, and it was like a homemade thing. This guy shows up every year, and he builds something really, really weird. And it looked like, what were they called in Star Wars? Ewoks. So he called the car Ewok. If you look at it, it's a combination of some vintage-style fenders with a hood that was modified, and then it's open in the back, and you slide in it, and that part actually looks like an open wheelbarrow. But go check it out. It's a little Ewok thing, and it's kind of cool, and he had a little Ewoks in it. And it got a lot of attention. The beauty of this is, you know, people can get really, really cool and creative, and everybody appreciates it, because the car community is pretty cool. I missed Automobilia, because that was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I wish they hadn't done that. I wish they would have left it Thursday, Friday, like they used to do it, or Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That didn't work out too well. Let's see what else. Oh, yeah, that evening they had the little thing over at the Broad Arrow, had an auction over there at the hangar, Monterey Jetport. And then there was the Motorlux, which is like a big fancy-schmancy car show with a bunch of kids running around with checking out supercars and a whole bunch of airplanes, your classic hangar party. But back in the day when Gordon McCall had it, it was a much better event. Let's see, what do we do the next day? Yeah, I think I already covered Thursday. Friday, we went to the Lemons car show. Now, that was a lot of fun. Alan's been on our show a couple times. He's kind of like the founder and creator of the Lemons, which is kind of like an ugly car show. And Wayne Carini was there. Of course, I see Wayne all the time. And he went up to this place called Doty's Auto Sales. Okay, now Doty has Porsches, BMWs, Mercedes, Audis, Volkswagens. They had some Mustangs there this time. It's kind of like a he's got a lot of project cars, let's put it that way. But some cool stuff. But this is the first year I see his whole parking lot. It probably had 35 or 40 cars there. I've never seen that many cars there. Usually he's got maybe 15 or 20, but he had twice as many this year. So he was ready for the Monterey crowd, because everybody descends on Monterey from all over the world, that I might add. And he had just tons and tons of stuff there. So, but one thing he had, and he's got two places. He's got one place where he keeps running driving stuff, and he's got another yard or retail lot down the street, and it's got a bunch of old busted up junk. I mean, there was a BMW Wagoneers, a couple 300 SD Mercedes-Benzes, some old pontoons, a couple of Volkswagens, some Ford trucks, 37 Packard convertible coupe, actually. It's actually restorable. Just Volkswagen, just all kinds of stuff. Just, you know, my world, junkyard kind of thing. But anyway, serious project for the series. Anyway, so He had this, my friend John Leary, if John's listening, John is from the Lady Lake area there over by the Villages, and he flew his little puddle jumper from here to there. It took him, I don't know, 5-6 days, but he's like doing a 3-week, 4-week, month, 5-week, whatever trek. So he flies his little itty-bitty little airplane out there, and he lands at Monterey Jetport. And he basically, his airplane runs about 200 miles an hour. It's kind of like a little, some little sport plane, and I forget what motor's in it, something, maybe Continental, or no, something a little bit more than that. But anyway, it gets like 22, 25 miles to a gallon, right? So he buzzes out there. But John's a real handy kind of guy. He's got MGs, and he's got Mercedes-Benzes and Jags and all kinds of weird stuff. But he's a real good wrench. And so he flew his plane out there, and what he does is he hangs out with Doty's, if you Google Doty's Auto Sales, and kind of helps wrench stuff. So in the last 4 or 5 years, he went out there, and he got buddies with Doty, and he puts these beaters together that he dig out of the, I mean, they might as well come out of the forest or whatever. And he gets them running, and then Wayne takes those cars and drives them over to the Concours de Le Mans. Well, this time he had a 911 cab that somebody converted into a turbo that was rotten. I mean, bad. So they finally, after a couple days, 3 or 4 days, got that thing running. It's been sitting for who knows how long. I mean, the roof's wrecked, the body's dented up, the seats are tore up. It's just a complete disaster, but it's cool. Okay, it's cool. It's got character. So when they rolled it through, they finally got it running, but the gas tank was rotten, so they ran it on a nurse tank. Basically, what that is you go get a 5-gallon tank can, you know, like a gas can, stick it under the trunk, run a hose into it, and then you hook that up to the fuel pump, and it sucks out of there. So that's how they got it on the show field. It was pretty cool. But they had a number of cars there. If you go to my Facebook page again, Nostalgic Radio and Cars, go to the one that says Lemon's Car Show, and you'll see all that stuff on there. It's pretty cool. Then after that, we went over to the Porsche Works Reunion, which is right down the road on the fairgrounds there on Pine something golf course, Pine Golf Course Club, whatever, something like that. Anyway, we went to that, and there was a bunch of really cool Porsches, 911s, 356s, and I met a pretty interesting guy there. And so this guy happened to be, he had a really nice Porsche Carrera, 62. And so we were talking a little bit about those, which is basically a 356 still. And that motor is the same motor they use in the same basic design as they used in the 550 cars, like what James Dean had, or the RSKs, or even the 904 Porsches actually ran those. And then the 718, which was the early, they call them, Bergwagen, which translated is the hill climb cars. And so we got to talk a little bit. The guy was a retired stockbroker or hedge fund manager. And so we were talking kind of like what's going on in Wall Street and all that other good stuff, but obviously talking about cars and stuff. And then one guy that I met that was really interesting, his name is Rainer Buchmann. And I was surprised to see the car there because as I was strolling through, and then again, go to our Facebook page, you'll see pictures of it. And there's this black 911 Targa turbo look there that's got these rainbow colors on it. Now, back in the 80s, 70s, and 80s, the Buchmann Brüder, okay, Buchmann Brothers, and it was called B&B. And it's before the days of Roof and some of the other companies, but AMG was out there, which was Mercedes. Alpina was to BMW. And Buchmann Brothers was a kind of like a design, custom car designers, kind of like a Joris Behrs on steroids, but with German cars. Very, very classy operation. So he designed a number of cars, and they were actually a marketing company that built custom cars. And the reason the stripes are on this particular Porsche is because they replicate. They at the time they were doing a promotional thing for Polaroid camera, and Polaroid had, you know, if you remember, they had those rainbow colors on their packaging. And they were, I think they were introducing the new, like, you know, I have the original 215 Polaroid, and they had 230s and two whatever. But this was the ones where they had the ones that came out kind of like psh, pop it, and it was like Instamatic. I mean, it just spit it out. I actually used those when I was doing my early appraisals. But heck, that little thing cost like $25, $30 or whatever it was just to have a cartridge of like 8 films. And if you didn't do it right, they if you didn't let it whatever process or whatever, they would kind of screw up. So, anyway, so Rainer Buchmann was there. Well, I was actually, when I went with Fastlane Travel, big shout out to my friends over there, April, Wendy, and Peter, and Susie, over there at Fastlane Travel, European driving tours, okay, to Deutschland and to the Porsche Fabrik, Porsche factory. I went over there, and one of the things I did after I went to the Porsche factory and all that other good stuff is I rented a car. At that time, I think I rented a BMW, and I was bonsaiing down the Autobahn, and I went to Frankfurt. And when I went to Frankfurt, I actually visited Buchmann Brothers because I saw their advertising advertising and their public, their magazine publications. So here it is, all these years later. Now you think about this. This is 40 some odd years later. I actually meet Reiner Buchmann again, and I brought up the fact that I had met him, been to his factory, and he thought that was so cool. He gave me a book and some other stuff, and he's going to come on our radio show and talk about B&B. And they built some pretty cool cars. And when I was there at the Porsche factory in 1981, that one of their cars was on exhibit at the Porsche factory because it was part of a transport, a promotional thing. So they had the Buchmann cars and the B&B Porsches and a couple other stuff. So that was pretty fascinating, the fact that I met him there. And he was just totally surprised, and his wife was totally surprised because she was a secretary back then. They later married, obviously. And she was a secretary back then. And the fact that, you know, I knew the place and had been to his factory and he gave me the tour was pretty cool, you know. And that just being some, you know, 20-some-odd-year-old kid, you know, back in the day, you know, from America with not much. I did have a 911 at the time. And it was pretty cool. So that was kind of the exciting thing there. And again, this is where I'm going with this stuff. You just never know who you're going to meet. You know, it's the people that make these shows very interesting. So after that, let's see, that was, then we went to Laguna Seca. We hung out there for a while. No, we didn't go to Laguna Seca. What did we do after that? Oh, then we went to the RM auction. Is that it? Yeah, RM auction. No, we went to the Quail after that. That's right. So we did the Le Mans, the Lemons thing, the Porsche thing, and then we went to the Quail. And I already told you about the Quail, some of the cool cars and stuff like that were there. And then I went to, and Alois Roof was there. And Roof is another one that does very rare, you know, bad Porsches, you know, fast Porsches. In fact, back in the day, he did one that was a 964. It was called the Yellow Bird. And it was over 200 miles an hour out of a 911, 210, 211, whatever it was. And at the time, it was considered, you know, one of the fastest 911s that you could buy. Now, think about it. This is 1990 or 91, 92, somewhere around in there, with the 964 Porsche, which was the successor to the 911. Still an air-cooled car. You know, Porsches, real Porsches are air-cooled. That's what us purists say. So, at any rate, was pretty cool. So I met Alois. I saw him over there, and there were some other people that I was kind of hobnobbing with. But they were just, oh, yeah, I met this real interesting another guy. His name's Harold. And Harold's a journalist and a photographer. And I'm going to bring him on the show. It's just, he's had some wild stories because he used to be a photographer in LA and had a promotional thing. But then he started getting into cars and writing and all this other kind of stuff. But he had some great stories, and he's been around. So it'd be interesting to get him on. We'll have him on soon. There's several auctions going on. And the auctions was Gooding RM. We didn't get the Meekums. Just too much stuff to do. But on Thursday, we went to the Concorso Italiano. And I was hanging out with the guys with the Panteras because I used to have one. And I was talking to those guys and some of the Ferrari guys. And then there was another guy there that had a beautiful, stunning Lamborghini 350 GT, which is on my business card. Okay, that's one of my favorite Lamborghinis, as well as the Miura. But the 350 GT has got a special place in my heart. And so we were talking to those guys. And then we left there, and then we went over to Laguna Seca. And so when I went over to Laguna Seca, I ran into Bill Warner was there, said hi, and a couple other guys I knew. But that's when I was taking some of the pictures and looking at a lot of the cars. And that's what's kind of exciting. And Carlos de Quesada, a friend of mine, Allegra Motorsports, he was over there. Bill Hinton was there. Bill's from HSR. So it's, again, like I said, you know, you just keep bumping into all these people, and it's just a lot of fun. And you share stories and, you know, talk about, oh, yeah, remember a few years ago, blah, 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 you know, such a car was here and so-and-so doesn't own it anymore. This guy owns it and it's still out there and he modified it and, you know, it looks better, runs better and all this other kind of stuff. Or so-and-so found some barn find race car. Look at this. What do you think of that? But they had some really cool cars there on display. Again, go to my Facebook page. I got a bunch of that stuff on there. So then after that, that's when we went to the Shelby dinner, which was kind of fun. And then the next day is the Pebble Beach Concourse d'Elegance. Okay, but before I do that, I'm going to talk about some of the cars at the auction. So I went over to Gooding's, and Gooding has a lot of, oh yeah, they have this little thing called the Concourse Village, and they have a lot of displays. So there are Mercedes-Benz is up there, Lincoln's there, Jaguar's there. They have a display for all the JDM cars, you know, the Datsuns, the Nissans, the stuff that doesn't come to our country, the right-hand drive stuff. But there was a company there, and I can't remember the name of it, but I was looking at the two MGBs there. They had an MGB GT and an MGB Roadster. And I thought, wow, these are really cool. Then it didn't occur to me until they were doing the unveiling, which they kind of introduced, said they were doing. I just happened to be standing at the time. The cars were absolutely gorgeous, but they're electric. Electric. I just said, oh, man. You know, now the cars were really cool, and I got some, you know, they gave me a couple pointers because I have an MGB GT, and I think that's a really cool car. By the way, the MGB GT is the only Italian, well, one of many Italian-designed English cars. And the Aston Martin was actually the first DB4 was a Superleggera. Leggera. I actually met, they've actually, that design company is still in business. And they did Aston Martins, and they did the Lamborghini 350 GT, and a bunch of stuff. I don't think they ever did Ferraris, because that was always Bertone, Pininfarina. If Alan's listening, he'll call and correct me. But anyway, so I got to talk to one of those guys, and at the Superleggera display that was at the Quail, I might add. The Quail is a very, very high-end event. And I know I'm jumping around a little bit, but it's like, you know, Singer was there with their Porsches. Pininfarina there was a display. Zagato had a display. All the finest car designers, you know, coach builders, if you will, are there with their wares, so to speak, you know. And then, of course, they have food. It's like a $700, $800 ticket. It's all inclusive. And so you're there for the whole day. You get food, wine, drink, music, entertainment, and little trinkets here and there and stuff like that. But it's pretty cool. It's I don't like this term, but it's referred to as a lifestyle event. Okay, Festivals of Speed is a lifestyle event. Moto Miami down in Miami, which that's coming up in April, is a lifestyle event, but it's going to evolve into a concourse. It's going to be much, much, much more, and it's going to be right here in our backyard in Florida. 5-hour drive, guys. Got to put that on your bucket list. Actually, you have to put Monterey on your bucket list. But nonetheless, so went to Gooding's, and they had some amazing cars. I said hi to David Gooding. He's been on our show before, and Charlie Ross has got a new book out. I should have weaseled one away from him, but I didn't. But anyway, shout out to Paula, because she's the PR lady there, and she does a great job. But I met this guy there. It was called Man, they're out of St. Louis, and I think it's Man, M-A-N-N-S Restoration. And he had a book there, and it was surprisingly thick, okay? I mean, really thick. But he was a very, very interesting guy, and what caught my attention on the cover of the book was the Turbine car, the Chrysler Turbine car, 63, 64 car. And so we got to talking about that a little bit. And then when I opened the book, I said, can I look at the book? And he said, yeah. And his name's Michael. And older guy, my age, or a little bit older than me probably, you know, been around for a long time. And the book is about, well, the foreword was from Jay Leno, which I thought was kind of interesting. And I said, well, you know, I know Jay has one of these cars. And I know last year he was up in Detroit. He didn't go to Monterey because he was trying to get some stuff done to get that car running. We actually talked about this, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 months ago, whenever Jay was on our show last. And so, but the book is, and I have to read the book, okay, or at least page certain chapters of it, because it talks about technology and how the technology for the turbine engine actually was derived by the Germans had this during World War II, and they were working on it, and how Wernher von Braun was involved in the development of this, and some other stuff. So it's a real interesting book about how technology, and this is the short story, how technology is out there, how far advanced it is by virtue of luck and persistence and just, or persistence, perseverance, technology, research, and luck, okay? And they stumble on this stuff. I mean, you know, there's a number of things out there. You know, plastic's one of them. Was stuff discovered by accident. Microwaves was discovered by accident. You know, all that kind of stuff. Radios, TV. It goes on and on and on. And so it talks about how all this stuff was developed back in the day, but it's not, we can't have it because corporate America doesn't want us to have it. Now, that's another topic for another day, and we won't get into that. But anyway, so that's essentially what that book was about. But a very, very fascinating guy. I spent an hour talking to him. Very, very interesting guy. Again, the cars that were there, I have pictures on Facebook. So go check out our Facebook page. On that note, I think what I'm going to do is we're going to fire up the stereo one more time, and we're going to play San Francisco by Scott McKenzie. Now, this is probably my all-time favorite song. Brings tears to my eyes. Love it. This is Scott McKenzie, 1967 or 68, 67, San Francisco. Hey, you're tuning into Nostalgic Auto. Don't touch that dial. I'll be right back.
Going
Okay, we're back, and you're tuned into Nostalgic Radio and Cars. All right, so now it's Sunday. No. We went to RM auction, okay? And I got to tell you, RM, between RM and Gooding, it's really hard to tell because they got the best of the best, both those auction houses. I will say that Meekum, in his defense, he had some really, really great cars, too. Unfortunately, I didn't get over there because he had some really, really high-end stuff. Unlike the stuff that he brings to, you know, Florida and some of the other places, his Carmel, or his Monterey car selection is, like, top-notch. I mean, we're talking Ferraris. By the way, what's really interesting, we all associate, and I did an interview with him a long time ago, and I got to do it again sometime. We always assume Dana is a muscle car guy. But when he was on the show field yesterday, last year he had this really, really beautiful Delahaye, one of those two cars. And then yesteryear he had another very, very unusual limited production French car, probably another one, but limited production. So he's got I'm told he's got over 100 cars in his own private collection, some of the world's finest. So, and my guess is probably RM restored some of them because they're buddies. They're not too far because Dana's in Wisconsin and RM, Rob Myers, is up in Chatham, Canada, just on the other side of Detroit. So it's not that far. You can throw a rock if you're really good at it. Anyway, so RM had some pretty cool cars there, and I was really impressed with some of their stuff. One of the cars they had there was this 63 or 64 289 Cobra that was owned by a gentleman by the name of Hank Williams. Original owner car. He SCCA'd the car, did all kinds of cool stuff. I don't know what the car sold for. I should have looked it up before I got here, but I didn't. I forgot. Too many things going on in my mind. And but that was one of the kind of highlights for me, not to mention some of the Porsches and some of the Ferraris and some of the just extremely unique cars. So definitely check out our Facebook page. I got that on there again. See, I'm promoting my Facebook page. There's a reason I'm leading up to this, okay? All right, so Sunday now we have the Concours d'Elegance. Now, they have what they call the Dawn Patrol. And it started out as the Dawn, D-O-N, Patrol, in honor of Don Williams, because Don Williams was one of the Black Hawk Museum in East Bay, which is on the other side of San Francisco, like the Lakeland, the Oakland area there. Anyway, I can't remember the name of the town, but it's on the Oakland side. And so if you got there really early and you had a cup of coffee and maybe a donut or two, and you, as they were setting the cars up on the field, staging, it was the Dawn Patrol. Well, when Haggerty got involved in it, they changed it to the Dawn Patrol, as in D-A-W-N, you know, Dawn, getting there before dawn. So if you really want to get there, they don't start bringing the cars on the show field, I think, until 6:30 or something like that. But if you get there like between 5:15 and 5:30, there's coffee and donuts, and it's pitch black. Go to my Facebook page. I got pictures of it. And if Haggerty walks around and they pitch these hats out, okay, and they get it, they're called the Dawn Patrol hats. They give out 50 of them. It's the only time I've seen millionaires fight over a little piece of a few threads. It's just absolutely incredible. They run around the guy, and they're trying to get it. I literally, last year, I saw some guy snatch one out of a guy's hand. What do we got, 4 minutes? Oh, man, jeez. All right, so fast forward. amazing cars. Go to my Facebook page. Some beautiful cars that are out there. But the winning car, what I really liked is now they're getting, everybody's finally waking up to this preservation thing. The winning car was a 1934 Bugatti Type 59 sports car. They didn't even have a grill in it, but the car was just edgy cool. I didn't get a chance to talk to the guy. It's a Swiss guy. There was a lot of people around him from Switzerland. So basically, it's the first time that a guy from Switzerland, a European person on top of that, and that a preservation vehicle won best of show. And that was pretty cool. I really truly thought that that was neat, because out of all the cars, whether that car or there was another gentleman there that had a 1914 something or other. I can't remember right now, but I was talking to him and his wife. That was a preservation car, but it was a 1913, 1914. I can't think of it right now, but it was one of the original Indianapolis Pace cars. Okay. Now, unfortunately, Bugatti trumps anything else. So, in fact, if you go back in the 73 years that the show has been at Pebble Beach on the 18th fairway at Monterey, Bugatti, Mercedes, Benz have taken more first class places than any other mark. So that was pretty cool. But there was Ferraris, and then there was our friend Jeffy Hacker. He brought some really goofy little car because he's in a forgotten fiberglass. They had a really cool display there. But there was some really cool wedge cars, some prototypes cars. They were there. That was really, really, really neat and pretty cool. Now, where I'm going with this whole thing, why I got upset, my little rant was because they got this new little punk kid helping out with some of the media stuff there at Pebble Beach, and I'm up there taking pictures. Now, I keep a 35mm camera. My little camera phone takes just as good a picture. The guy sits there and says, "I'm sorry, but you're going to have to leave because you're using a camera phone. I'm 20 feet away. I take a very good picture. If you look at all those pictures on my Facebook page, they're all done with a camera phone. So this little punk, okay, this little social media punk who knows nothing, little wet behind the ear, little greenhorn, Grant is his name, so if you want to look him up, I don't care at this point because he's a punk, if you're listening. Anyway, that's my rant. He should be fired. I'm going to write him a letter because I to the superiors over there, because I think that's really wrong. You can't sit there and have somebody go in there. This whole business is built on relationships, networking, people that have been in the industry for a long time. But when you get a bunch of little kids in there that have no clue how to network, how to work with people, how to communicate with people, they do everything with the phone. Remember I told you that story about my two nieces? They're sitting side by side and they're giggling. I go, "What are you guys doing?" I said, "What are you guys talking about?" "Oh, we're not. What are you doing?" We're texting. "Why are you texting?" "Well, because we don't want anybody to know what we're texting about." "Well, duh. Really? You can't go someplace else, sit, talk, communicate, no relationship, see people in a restaurant? They're all texting. That's ridiculous. They can't go on like that." So anyway, that's my rant. So in the meantime, how much seconds do I got? Am I almost out of time here? Okay, well, anyway, so all right, I want to thank all my listeners for tuning in to Nostalgic Radio and Cars. Don't forget to check us out every Tuesday between 7 and 8 p.m. On the Tan Talk Radio Network for the most legendary and fascinating names in motorsports. Yes, I'm positive about everything, and I will always get through it, and I encourage you guys to get through it, too. Follow your dream, follow your passion, get out there, drive your cars. In the meantime, everybody, stay safe, drive carefully, and love your family.